Okay, well, let's move into our sermon time. And church board, I'm taking the email that I sent to you on Friday. I've kind of turned it into a sermon for us this morning. I just thought maybe I wanted to include everybody in on some of those thoughts and develop them a little further. So, everyone who is not on the church board, let me tell you what I wrote to them just a couple days ago. So first off, in my email on Friday, I made a comment to the board that, you know, we're all beginning to know a good number of people now who have contracted COVID-19 and who have recovered well, right? We're getting a list of names like that. We even know people like Harlow and Niece who were in direct contact with someone who was positive, in this case, Niece's mother, Lila, who is recovering, thank the Lord. But the crazy thing is they didn't get it. And that was the same with Carmen when she was hanging out with her granddaughters who were positive, and for the Mangle clans. It's just it's a crazy disease, isn't it? This thing that is so contagious that it swept through the entire world in just a couple of months, and yet we aren't necessarily picking it up when we're right next to it. So that's crazy. And we, of course, we do need to stop there and say thank you, Lord, for that fact and for that fact that the people directly a part of our fellowship here have been healthy. So we're grateful to you, Lord, for that. Since the church board and I are in regular conversation these days about how to accomplish church programming in these days of the pandemic, I thought it was important for us also to remember, however, the other side of the COVID story. And so I also said this to them in my Friday email. The email was a shorter version than what I'm about to do here, but on Tuesday, October 6th, just a little over a month ago, I hosted here at Calvary our monthly Madison area ministerial meeting, and this is a gathering of local pastors, and we pray for each other, and we seek to find ways to minister to our community in Jesus' name together. And for that October 6th meeting, we used the same setup that we use for Calvary board meetings, which means we wear masks and we, you know, we kind of spread out and do our distancing, and then we go about our business. One of the people in attendance at that meeting was a woman named Joy Dolan. Some of you will know her. She's from Appleton, a former coworker and friend of Naomi's. And Joy has been the representative from St. Michael's to our ministerium meetings. And, you know, while I didn't interact with Joy outside of our meetings, I can tell you that I have really enjoyed having her at them. She brings a fun energy to the meetings, and she has a big heart to help people who are in need, which was just obvious to see in her. So anyway, she was at that October 6th meeting, and we all joked and, you know, joked about wearing masks and talked about the coronavirus like we all do these days, and Joy was healthy at that meeting. Don't believe our meeting had anything to do with it, but Joy contracted COVID-19 a few days after that meeting, and it was really impacting her breathing to the point that she had to be moved to the coronavirus ICU in St. Cloud and placed on a ventilator, and that happened on October 16. My friend Joy Dolan died of COVID-19 this past Thursday, November 12th, she was 66. So this is the other side of the COVID story, right? And my point for the church board in my email was that, as you know, as we consider the various guidelines from the government on how to go about doing gatherings in the days of the virus, we shouldn't get too comfortable. You know, it'd be really easy to look at this long list of people who recover quickly, or who don't even get it after being exposed, it would be tempting to relax and to put our guard down. But at the least, what we need to do is balance those experiences out with the experience of Joy and others like hers. I know most of you probably didn't know Joy, but I think you can relate to these feelings I've been having over the last couple days. You know, when you interact with a friend one day, and then just a few days later, she's dead. I mean, that is unnerving, a bit of a shock to the system, and I've been feeling sad about Joy. You may have your own stories like this, things that have impacted your life It seems quite possible that if you don't have stories like that, you might soon over these next months. The boat has been rocking lately, Calvary. The boat's been rocking. Of much less significance, but still an example of boat rocking. Mentioned Anna was gone today. We learned on Thursday that someone in Greta's preschool tested positive, and so Greta was to be on quarantine for this week. And I guess the protocol is that Greta has to be on quarantine. The rest of us don't have to be unless she develops symptoms. So that's why I'm here with you here today. And Greta has not developed any symptoms. But obviously, Anna had to stay home and watch her this morning. That's why you also don't see our awesome preschool teacher, Roxy, who also had to quarantine because of that situation. And then, you know, if you have kids these days, just every Friday you're wondering, are we going to have school next week? And for those of you who are both parents are working, that's a major deal. It's quite a major disruption if you're needing to be home for your kids. And then we think, really, I mean, throughout the entire planet now, think of all the people who are healthy and who are at work. A lot of them, how many of them are doing extra work to pick up for those who are home on quarantine or who are sick? I know that that's true in our congregation in a number of instances. So, you know, all of this stuff mixes together and makes life quite unsettling these days, right? The boat is rocking. Well, when the boat starts rocking in our lives, often what we need to do is go back and remind ourselves of some things that we already know. We need to go back and remind ourselves of things we already know in order to get our feet feeling solid again. And I felt led to do this with you this morning, Calvary, even though I will tell you right now, this is going to be a repeat of some things we've been talking about here in recent weeks, even back to the beginning of the coronavirus era. Some of this will be repeat, but that's okay. And in fact, I'm doing that intentionally because sometimes we need to go back to things we already know when the boat's rocking. Be reminded of those things. And that helps us perhaps bring order back into our minds and have peace. So we're going to take a one-week break from our study on Luke today in order to walk down these paths together instead. So I've lost, suddenly, a friend in Joy. I could lose others in the months ahead. Could lose my life in the months ahead to this virus. These are all thoughts that have gone through my mind in the last 48 hours. And there's sadness in these things. I'll admit that the news of Joy took a toll a bit on my energy levels the last couple of days. On my ability to focus. So that's all true, but you know, my mind keeps coming back to the idea that really nothing changes for me going forward in terms of how I should live my life, in terms of what I should be focusing on, that actually stays the same. Now, of course, if Joy had been a family member, it would have hit me even more hard, right? But I think that what I just said does apply to those situations where we lose really close friends or family members. I think it's true there too. Those losses will have huge impacts upon us, but when it comes down to the day-to-day outlook that Christ followers should have and the focus that we are asked to maintain in our lives, that stuff actually does not change even in the midst of great turmoil. There are some things that just don't change for Christ followers. For example, we still should be focusing on living life to the full. Like we say in our little call and response thing, right? If anything, losses like these these moments when we feel the uncertainty of life should drive us into desiring to live life more fully than what we have been doing. You know, we recognize that we may not be here for long. Our loved ones may not be here for long. So let's use the time that we have and create memories and have laughter together, enjoy each other. So I'll tell you what I did this weekend. My girls are still young enough to enjoy. They like to snuggle with mom and dad still. I know that's not going to last for forever, so I'm going to take advantage of that. And so we, this last Friday night, did a sleepover on our living room floor. Brought the mattresses in on the floor there, and a ton of blankets and pillows. And of course, my girls brought in a zillion stuffed animals. And my wife told me yesterday, next time we do that, I'm cleaning it up the next day. I lit a fire in the fireplace, and we played music and watched a movie. I kept them up too late, which is kind of what I do, and we just had a great time camping out there overnight, and I'd been thinking about doing that anyway, but after the events of Thursday and Friday, I'm like, I'm going to do it now. Live life to the full. And you know, this idea of living life to the full is why I try to schedule things for us, like the Wren's Collective concert that we went to as a church a couple of winters ago. It's why I encourage your small groups to have fun nights every once in a while. It's part of why we do all church retreats at Calvary and pie and praise events and Christmas caroling, and etc. It's part of why we brought the comedian Ken Davis to town a few years ago. I'm convicted that we need to live life to the full, and I want to do that together with you guys. Now, church can only do so much collectively, especially in the midst of a pandemic. You know, we can try to create some avenues for this, but really, we each as individuals need to take charge of this for our own lives. So I'll ask you, what are you going to do over the next month, 3 months, 6 months, to live life to the full and to have some good fun? It is tough when so many things are restricted these days, but we can get creative, right? And now listen, I understand if you live alone, some of this is challenging because, you know, really, we want to have fun with other people. We don't want to just have fun by ourselves, right? I totally get that. And I'm open to ideas. If you can think of some ways in which Calvary can help you live life more to the full with other Calvary members, come chat with me. We'll brainstorm together. But you know, I guess it comes down to this question. What can you do? What can you do to keep enjoying things and having fun in life? Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine. Psalm 47:1, clap your hands, all you nations, shout to God with cries of joy. We did that at the Wren Collective concert. We weren't just clapping for the band and the music. We were clapping for the one that music was written about and being sung to. And we celebrated God together in happiness that evening. Jesus once said to his disciples, I've told you all these things I've been teaching you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. In my last sermon to you, we saw that Jesus compares heaven to a feast, to a party in the wholesome sense of the word. And so that leads me to believe that God wants fun and laughter for us, which makes sense because he was the creator of fun and laughter. It says in 1 Thessalonians 5:16 to 18, rejoice always. Pray continually. Give thanks in all circumstances. This is God's will for you. Rejoice always. Now, I know that when a loved one passes away, we don't typically feel like going out to party. There are times in life, there are just times in life for sadness, deep sadness. And sometimes depression is a part of that. You may even get to the point where you want to go and have fun, but it's just not in you yet, right? Maybe you've been there. But I also really believe that if we keep turning to God, as time goes on, he will eventually bring us back to the point of being able to live life to the full. Jeremiah 31:13, he said, I will turn their mourning into joy. I will comfort them and give them gladness in exchange for their sorrow. So my point for today is that when the boat starts rocking, one thing that we need to do is we need to keep looking for ways to live life to the full. Take advantage of the days we're given. Well, before I move to the thing that you probably can't anticipate is coming here, live life to the full, look forward to the goal. I'm going to insert one that is not part of that phrase. When the boat starts rocking in our lives, another thing that should not change for us is our focus on accomplishing the mission. On accomplishing the mission. So we had a mission here before coronavirus came to town, came to the world, and it was to tell the whole world, starting in our community, about Jesus, that yes, he is the Son of the Creator God, that he loves all people with a love strong enough to die for them, that his death opened up a way for us to restore our relationship with God because we all trashed it with our sinful behaviors and choices. So we had a mission to explain that, yeah, every person has a choice to make about God, and that the outcome of that decision is heaven or hell. To explain that this is not a myth, but is a message that is instead rooted in a historical man, in a historical event that has evidence to back it up. We had a mission to invite people in and have their lives changed by this Jesus Christ, because he can give them capital L life. Well, the pre-coronavirus mission is not any different in the post-coronavirus or the current coronavirus days. If anything, seeing friends die from this virus should drive us even into a more passionate effort to accomplish this mission. It is a matter of life. It's a matter of eternal, matter of life and death. It's a matter of eternal life and death for billions of souls, including neighbors and loved ones, family members. They and we might not be on this earth for long, so we really should be getting after it. This mission given to the church proceeds despite lockdowns, capacity requirements, masks. It carries forward. And so we need to be here when we are able to be here, getting trained up, getting filled up, so that we can then go out, even if that means virtually, diving into loving relationships that hopefully will open doors to help people discover Jesus in a closer way. You may have heard these words before from Jesus. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. So there's the mission assignment from the lips of Christ. Apostle Paul put it this way: everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Well, how then can they call on the one they've not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? So who is going to go to these people and explain the good news of Jesus to them? That's Paul's question. And we are to answer that question in a similar way to how Isaiah once answered a similar question from God. This from Isaiah chapter 6, where it says, "Then I heard the voice of the Lord saying, 'Whom shall I send? Who will go for us?' And I said, 'Here am I, send me.'" We need to be the ones answering the call. We need to be the ones who are doing this stuff. I really like the way Peter frames it in 1 Peter 3:15, where he said, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you, to give the reason for the hope you have. But do this with gentleness and respect." So we are to prepare ourselves for those conversations we'll have with people about Jesus. Man, you don't have to make it weird. Just let it flow naturally. What does Jesus mean to you? What has he meant to you? It should just kind of flow out, I think, if we're doing it right. We don't have to have practice it, but you don't have to have like a 5-point sermon for him. And then always, when you're having those conversations, speak about Jesus in gentleness and respect. It says, we're not going to beat people into the kingdom. We're not going to shame them into the kingdom. We might love them into the kingdom. Speak the truth in love. Always speak within a loving relationship. Always speak with gentleness and respect shown to the person you're talking with. And then do it with confidence. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who believes." Said a moment ago that part of the reason we schedule fun events here at Calvary is to help us all be better able to live life to the full. Well, a more important reason that we do events like those is that we want to be able to invite people to these fun things so that through the interactions and experiences that take place there, they will begin to get to know Jesus in a new and deeper way so that his joy will be within them as well. So this is our mission at Calvary, but again, our church can only do so much as a collective unit. Calvary's success at this is going to hinge on what each of us as individuals do to accomplish these objectives. Okay? If we aren't, each of us, working individually to reach people for Jesus, we're only going to see so much success as a full church. So here comes the question again. What are you going to do in the next month, 3 months, 6 months to help your neighbors and loved ones really meet Jesus? And I'm going to ask that again, and just let a few seconds of silence sit there so we can actually think about that for a moment. What are you going to do over the next month, 3 months, 6 months to help your neighbors and loved ones in your lives really meet Jesus? What are you going to do? Point here for today is that when the boat starts rocking, one thing we need to remember is that our mission has not changed. It's the same today as it was last year. We need to keep looking for ways to accomplish the mission. Okay, it's time for the one you know is coming now. When the boat starts rocking in our lives, another thing that should not change for us is our focus on looking forward to the goal. We are to continue looking forward to reaching heaven. And hey, we just tackled this subject in my last sermon to you, so I'm not going to repeat all that. Just want to touch on it. We do need to be logically consistent in our lives. So if we have made the decision that Jesus is who the Bible says he is, then we also need to believe in heaven. Really believe in heaven. And if we really believe in heaven, then we will know that it is a place worth looking forward to going to. Heaven's where the party happens, the feast. It's where all things will be renewed. My encouragement last time out was for us to look at the marvels in this natural world that we live in, and then just let yourself imagine how amazing heaven might be. Same creator. We're to treasure this idea of getting to heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Apostle Paul modeled this for us when he wrote, "If I'm to go on living in the body, this will mean fruitful labor for me. But what shall I choose? I don't know. I'm torn between the two. I desire to depart and be with Christ, which is better by far. But it's more necessary for you that I remain in the body." Paul said, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." A year ago, I preached a sermon to you titled, "Preparing for Your Dying Day." Preparing for Your Dying Day. And I asked you in that sermon if you'd ever thought about that moment of your death and how you're going to handle that. When you come to the realization that you're about to die, will you react in fear and panic? Or will you be able to, along with some fearful thoughts, I think, will you also be able to access the peace of God? Will you also be able to access some excitement about the fact that you're about to go on a trip, way better than any sightseeing trip to Europe, for example? Will you be able to access some excitement about the idea that you are about to be given an imperishable, powerful spiritual body? Will you be able to access some excitement about your impending ability to see for the first time, face to face, your Savior Jesus? His actual face. I asked you back then if you'll be able to replace the thought of, "Hey, no, I'm not ready to die." Will you be able to replace that thought with, "Okay, God, your will be done. Take care of my loved ones. Let's do this." It's not impossible that day is coming for us soon. As I said at the beginning, the coronavirus seems to react very differently with some people than others, and it's not impossible that our bodies will react to it like Joy's did. So if that happens for you and things start to go downhill and you begin to realize this might be the end of your earthly body, will you be able to grab a hold of the thought that this is not actually the end for you, but it's just the beginning? If you've submitted your life to Jesus Christ, you can have this confidence on your dying day. Yeah, I guess I think that we ought to try to prepare ourselves for that day. Imagine it ahead of time. How will you approach that moment when it arrives? And of course, I need to ask you, is there anything you need to get right with God before that moment arrives? If so, do it today. Do it now. So, the coronavirus has been rocking our boats, but hey, we knew before the virus came that we could die any day, right? That's no different. We had the hope of heaven before the virus came. That hasn't changed. When the boat starts rocking, keep looking forward to the goal of reaching heaven. March 15 was the date of the last sermon I preached to you here before we had to lock down. Lock the doors because of the virus shutdowns. There were 62 of you here that morning, including the Fernoles, if I remember right. If you recall, a lot of events had already been canceled by that point, and even major league sports, and I said in that sermon that our heads were starting to spin a little bit. Well, as it turns out, it took a good 6 or 7 months for coronavirus to really set up shop in Lac Parle County, but it's here now, and our heads are starting to spin again. And my words from you from last March 15 are still fitting on November 15. Here's part of what I said to you back then. I said that the good news for those who have acted upon the message of the Bible and have come into a saving relationship with their Creator is that even while living in this crazy world, we can find equilibrium. Remember that? When circumstances come upon us that otherwise would have caused our heads to spin, when the world gets spinny around us, our walk with God can keep us balanced, poised, in equilibrium. So there's sadness over some of the challenges and changes that we're facing these days. There certainly is sadness over losing friends like Joy suddenly. But even in the midst of all of this, we need to be reminded, Christ followers, that the things we're called to focus on in life, the way we are called by God to live our lives, these things have not been changed by the rocking boat. They don't change. And so we march forward. And each day that God gives to us, determined to live life to the full. What will you do in the next weeks to really have some good fun? We march forward each day with a determination to accomplish the humbling and terribly important task Jesus assigned to us of bringing people to Him. What will you do in the next weeks to help someone find Jesus? And we march forward each day with a decision made to look forward to the goal of reaching the shores of heaven where we will meet our Savior and where all will be made right. These are the things we're called to, Calvary. They don't change. Let's rest in this. Would you pray with me? Lord God, in that earlier sermon on equilibrium, we thought about that great image that you gave to us, Jesus, while you were here, that image of how if we build the foundation of our lives upon you, our lives can be built can be like a house that is built on a rock foundation rather than on a foundation of sand. And when the storms hit the house on the sand foundation, well, that house might collapse, but the house built on the rock will stand strong. So, Lord, life is shaky for us right now. There are things coming at us that cause stress and distress, that cause uncertainty and fear. And so these are exactly the types of situations that your analogy of the house built on the rock was meant for. if we've built our lives upon you, if we have practiced following you, if we have practiced trusting you, then now is when we should be able to access some of the strength that a life built upon you should have. As the winds blow, we focus in on you. We focus in on the things you've called us to that do not change. And we should be able to find peace because of this. We should be able to find that we are able to continue moving forward step by step. Thank you for this. Thank you for your wisdom, Jesus, and how you taught us. You gave us so many images like that one that help us navigate life. You are our lifeline, Lord, from here all the way out to heaven. We want to pray today for the family of Joy Dolan, family and friends who are grieving her loss, preparing for a funeral that they certainly did not expect to be having this week. So please be with them. Bring your healing and your love to their souls. And I want to thank you for Joy today and for the heart that she had for you and for people. Move in the hearts of each person listening to these words right now, Lord. I ask that they would know your peace and that each of us in the days that we have remaining would be able to live our lives to the full, that we'd be able to work hard to accomplish the mission you have assigned to us, and that we will begin to look forward to and to long for heaven. You are good. We thank you. Amen.